Please welcome Chris McKinney.
Thank you. I wasn't here last month because I was at a family reunion, so this is a really appropriate topic. Our family is spread from coast to coast all across the United States with, you know, California, New York, and many states in between, as well as in England in the United Kingdom. So it's been difficult, but we've managed to all get together about once every 10 years. Once in Estes Park, Colorado, once on the Oregon coast, and most recently in New York. My 40-year-old son, who lives in Maplewood, New Jersey, just outside of Manhattan, planned this reunion. And the setting was Baker Camp, which is a camp that was built in the 1930s and is still pretty much like it was in the 30s. It's a bunch of cabins and a big community center and a mess hall. And then there's a slope down to Lake Sebago, and it's within Harriman State Park. Just a beautiful setting. At 70, I'm the family matriarch. I have three sisters, all in their 60s. All of our children were there, and all of their children were there, and some of my cousins and their children. So we had three generations. And I imagine our family reunion was like most family reunions, a lot of reminiscing and making new memories. But I also think that we have some differences. Our family's like a melting pot of cultures and ethnicities. My English mother married my American father. My American sister married an Englishman. My English second cousin married a Japanese woman. My daughter married a biracial Caucasian African American. And my nephew married a woman of Mexican descent. Consequently, the third generation of cousins is like this little mini United Nations. Beautiful, beautiful children, ranging in age from 3 to 19. Also, we have a very strong creative vein running through our family. We have a fine artist, graphic artist, jewelry artisan, a musician, writers, a filmmaker who actually had a film in the International Division of the Slow Film Fest a couple of years ago, and a model and a storyteller. And I had a wonderful time telling stories to the younger children for days. And I flew out of LAX, and it was quite something leaving beige, dry, drought-stricken California and going to lush, humid, emerald green New York and New Jersey. And I took the red-eye flight thinking that I would sleep a good part of the way. However, I was sitting next to two Valley girls, and even after they stopped chattering for hours afterwards, when I was trying to fall asleep, all that was ringing through my head was, oh my God, are you kidding? Seriously? Oh, like, really? I can't, like believe, like, she, like, did that. Like, whatever. This went, you know, so I couldn't sleep very well. Anyway, I got to New Jersey, and let's see. See what you were talking about? This is happening to me right now. We kind of arrived in waves. My second cousin arrived from England, and he's 40 years old, bearded, and Caucasian. And he got to Newark Airport with his 7-year-old Japanese daughter in tow. And he was immediately pulled aside and interrogated by customs. I guess they profiled him as a kidnapper because his little girl didn't look anything like him. And they kept him for a good hour. You know, what's your purpose here? Where's the child's mother? Where do you work? Anyway, they finally let him go. His name is Rob. And poor Rob, he didn't have a very good welcome to America, because the very next day, when he was still in jet lag. We were all standing in my son's kitchen in Maplewood, and I was across from Rob, and my eyes just zeroed in on the big New Jersey mosquito that landed right on his tender English lily white neck, right below his ear, and I didn't even think. I just drew back my hand, opened my fist, and just smacked his neck with the mosquito. So that took him by surprise. So poor Rob. Anyway, what I was going to say before, what I forgot, was the Valley Girls were quite a contrast to my 7-year-old English-Japanese cousin's daughter, who is so eloquent and so articulate and was most excited about seeing the Van Gogh exhibit at the Met. So this was my comparison to the girls that I flew with. Anyway, we arrived in waves. Rob and I were among the first. So we had an opportunity to spend time in Maplewood and New York City before the group of us went up to the 4 days at Baker Camp. And for those of you who remember, I was able to meet up with Amy from Amy's Bread in New York City. And Baker Camp, it was pretty amazing. Everybody, there was no cell phone coverage. There was no computer coverage, no bars on the phones. Everybody just interacted with each other and the mosquitoes and the lightning bugs. It was really fun to watch the English people and some of the Californians who had never seen lightning bugs before. And we swam, we hiked, we dove off the raft, we canoed, we played ping pong, we shared home-cooked meals with each other. The food was absolutely delicious there. And roasted s'mores, and generally just roasted in the heat of New York in July. And the middle night of the reunion, we all gathered in the community hall to watch my nephew Oliver's latest film called Madeline, which he and his girlfriend Dee filmed in Maplewood last year, and in which my son was an actor. So that was fun. It was about 20 minutes, and after the movie, a few people stood up and made some announcements, and then my divorced daughter and her boyfriend addressed the group, and then suddenly he dropped to one knee and proposed to my 45-year-old daughter in front of this whole family that he had just met. Pretty courageous, and she said yes. So my sisters and I often laugh about the silly things that we do more and more as we age. And things like, you know, looking for your glasses and realizing you're wearing them or they're on your head, or walking into a room and forgetting what you went there for. We've all done things like that. Or slapping somebody's neck without warning. But what my sister Sue did on her way home to England on the flight tops them all. She was sitting in a window seat, and she was next to a rather grumpy woman, and she ordered a gin and tonic. And when the drink came, she realized that she needed to get something out of her purse that was at her feet. So she didn't want to ask the grumpy woman to hold her drink, and she couldn't put the tray down because she had to get down to the floor. So she decided to hold the drink in her teeth, the little plastic airplane glass full of gin and tonic. And she was doing pretty good, you know, not spilling and reaching down, and she got what she needed, but as she was in the process, her hair fell in her face. So when she sat up, she completely forgot she had the drink in her mouth. She threw her head back, and practically drowning herself in gin and tonic, it went up her nose, all of her glasses, her hair, down her front. And the woman next to her is like, what the f-? You know, so my sister just like, she was mortified. She couldn't believe she forgot it. She just patted herself dry and looked out the window and didn't order another drink. She was too embarrassed. So I love my crazy, crazy, dynamic, passionate, wonderful family, and we're not going to wait 10 years for the next one. We're going to shoot for 5.